You're listening to the First Baptist Rockdale Sunday Sermons Podcast. First Baptist Rockdale is a church dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Last week, I had a giant boat and a whale on stage, so we took a detour from 1 Samuel into the book of Jonah. This week, we're back in 1 Samuel chapter 28. If you got your Bibles, you can flip over to 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel 28 is perhaps, without a whole lot of dispute in my mind, the weirdest passage of Scripture that you're going to run into. You get some weird stuff in the prophets. You get some visions and things that you read when you read Ezekiel, and you're like, man, that's weird. I don't know how to wrap my head around that. You can get some things in Revelation as you read the book of Revelation. You're like, man, there's some crazy stuff going on there. But 1 Samuel 28 is not a vision of something. It's not a future thing that's going to happen. It's a historical reality that took place that's recorded for us, and it is strange. I mean, it's strange enough that, every time I read it, I'm like, huh, that's interesting. What's going on is David has been anointed to be the king. Saul is still the king. Saul's been trying to kill David, da-da-da-da. One thing leads to another. David's out in hiding, working alongside of the king of the Philistines, or one of the kings of the Philistines, Achish of Gath. And David's basically just going on raids of neighboring countries that aren't Israel, taking possessions from them, killing everybody who's in Israelite land, and the king never really understands where the stuff comes from. Achish decides it's time to go to war with Israel, and so he's going to muster the Philistine army to go to war against Israel, and that is where we pick up in 1 Samuel 28. We'll read verses 1 and 2 to start, and then we'll jump into the weird stuff after that. It says, in those days, the Philistines gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, understand that you and your men are to go out with me in the army. And David said to Achish, very well, you shall know what your servant can do. And Achish said to David, very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life. What's happening here is Achish is going out. David is one of his kind of like marauding people in his area. And so he says, David, we're going to fight your home country. You're going with me. You're going to be there. And David's like, you'll see what I can do. And by the way, when David says, you'll see what I can do, he's not necessarily pledging his allegiance to Achish as much as he's giving a veiled threat that Achish misses, right? He's like, you'll see what I can do. And Achish's like, yeah, I'm ready to go see you at work in war. And David's thinking, yeah, I get to go kill some Philistines finally. I've been waiting a while to do this. And so this is going to be that moment. Achish says, you'll be my bodyguard. You'll take care of me. Seems like a good situation for Achish. It won't be. It seems like a good situation for David. But then we get to Saul's response. So the Philistine musters their troops. It's a massive, massive army. And we pick up at Saul's response to that in verse 3. It says, now Samuel had died, and all of Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land. And the Philistines assembled and came and encamped at Shunem. And Saul gathered all of Israel, and they encamped at Gilboa. And when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord didn't answer him either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. And Saul said to his servant, seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a medium at Endor. All right. So the compiler of 1 Samuel gives you a little history here to let you understand what you're about to see. Samuel is dead, and not just sort of dead. He's been long dead. They've had the whole period of mourning for Samuel. And Saul had completed some of the righteous acts he was supposed to do as king. He went out and he expelled from the land everybody who practiced the magic arts outside of the word or the will of God. And so if you were a medium, someone who was to channel the dead, if you were a necromancer, if you were some other magic practicing person in the land that Saul was over, Saul went on raids. He sent people out to either kill or to send them away from the land of Israel, because that sort of worship, that sort of spiritualism is detestable to God. God outlaws that in detail throughout the law. If you were to go back and read it, you'll see there's paragraphs about how you're not supposed to tolerate these people and you're to kill them if they're in the land, because the land can't be polluted with the presence of these people who practice this sort of spirituality out there. But Saul is in kind of a bind, and he sees the Philistine armies and he wants to hear from the Lord. And so he goes to God and he doesn't get a personal vision. This would be as if Saul went to bed at night and the Lord spoke to him through a dream. God was silent in Saul's dreams. God didn't speak to him through the Urim. Basically, that means that the priests were unable to divine, to decide what God was wanting to do. The priest wore a special vest called an ephod, and inside the ephod there was two stones, an Urim and a Thummim, and you would put them in a jar and you would draw it out, and it would let you kind of know what the Lord's will was. Should I go here or go there? This is for here, this is for there. Oh, we got the here stone, we're going to go here and do this. Now, this is a pretty foolproof way to allow God to work, to communicate through these things. The problem was, if you remember a couple chapters back, Saul had kind of a dispute with the priests, and he killed all but one of them, right? He went up to the city of Nob, and he murdered all of the priests. One guy got away, and he bound himself to David because Saul was trying to kill him. So there wasn't anyone who could inquire of God through the Urim and the Thummim. And then there was no prophets left to go as well, because Saul had been an enemy of Samuel for the end of Samuel's life, and any legitimate prophet of God at that time would have been coming from Samuel's kind of like downstream, right, coming out of Samuel. And so the prophets wanted nothing to do with Saul, but Saul really desired to hear from the Lord. He wanted to hear from the Lord, and I think a lot of us fall in that exact same place in our lives sometimes. You need some direction in your life for some decision. Something major is going on, and you want to hear from God. And you pray, and you pray, and you listen, and it seems like there is silence. And you may go to Christian brothers or sisters in Christ, and you're getting mixed reports. One Christian brother says, do this. The other one says, do that. There's no clear understanding of what God would have you to do. And you have this deep longing to hear from God, a need because of the crisis in front of you. And Saul, we've seen this already before, behaves poorly in crisis, right? He saw the Philistines' armies, or maybe it was the Amalekite army early in his time, and he freaked out, right? He offered the sacrifice prematurely. That was strike one in his relationship with God, because when stressful situations come, Saul doesn't know what to do. And a lot of us, well, none of us respond best in stress. You may say, I work well under pressure. I would put things off when I was in school because I'm a procrastinator by nature. And I would tell myself, I just work better under pressure. But see, that's not really accurate. I just get things done when I have to get them done, and I like to put things off until then. And the work quality would probably be better if I did it when I had adequate time to do it. It just never got done at those other times, right? That was my nature as a student. And so Saul's under this pressure, and he's not thinking clearly, and he can't get a vision from God. The prophets won't come. There's no priest around to tell him, this is, yes, the Lord wants you to go fight. No, the Lord doesn't want you to go fight. He says, what am I supposed to do? And then he has this idea. He's like, somebody somewhere escaped my sword, and there's a medium somewhere. Find them for me. And what a medium would do is they'd be able to channel up some spirit, allegedly, and that spirit would be able to give some guidance to Saul in what he needed to be done in that situation. And so Saul is like, I need to find a medium. And someone says, well, there's one in Endor. And so Saul's like, okay, that sounds like a plan. Here's the problem with what Saul is doing. It's right for you to want to know what God's will is in your life. That is an absolute good desire. When you have that desire, say, Lord, speak to me and tell me what to do. Great. In fact, a lot of us, we struggle with the other thing where we never even consider what God wants us to do in our life. And we just go and we do stuff and hope God will bless us along the way. It's a good desire to want to know what God is asking of you, what God is desiring of you. However, seeking God's will in the wrong way is sinful. When you're seeking God's will and you're doing it in the wrong way, it's sinful to do that. Right? And so Saul knew that going to a medium was a sinful thing because he had already, as the verse 3 told us, he had already been driving those mediums out of the land because they were abominable to God. Right? They were practicing a dark sort of spiritualism. And this dark spiritualism, by the way, still exists today. This isn't just a Bible times game where people are like, oh yeah, something happened way back when. You can drive down the freeway in Austin, Texas, and you can pull over somewhere at some fortune teller, tarot card reader, and they will tell you your future. And I don't know how many of those people have any power to tell you the future at all, but I'll tell you this. When you're seeking to know what God wants for you from your life, and you're looking at your horoscope, and you're looking at your fortune teller and your life coach who is not a believer in Jesus Christ, and you're allowing your life coach and your fortune teller and your horoscope person to guide your decisions outside of what God has told you to do, that is sinful. And many of those things are like expressly prohibited in the Old and New Testament. And as Christians, we should have nothing to do with that. Right? You should have nothing to do with that. I wandered into an establishment here in town, and I was at like a community gathering. I don't know what it was. It was a town hall meeting or something like that. And I'm sitting in this place, and I look over to the side, and there's like dream cards sitting on the table beside me where I'm at. And the idea was I could play with these cards, and I could somehow divine some part about what my future is going to be. And let me tell you something. When I was in that place, I was like, this is not a healthy place for me to be in. There is nothing in this place. Like, that place may like be good for the local economy or whatever, but it is not a healthy place for me as a believer to be in, right? And because there's a darkness, there's a spiritual darkness inside of that place. And as Christians, we should have nothing to do with that. Yeah, you may want to know what God's will is, but if you're seeking it in the wrong way, in a way that is inherently wrong, it's simple. Where can you know God's will? Well, God wrote us a really big book. And I've seen this before from people, specifically people who are really into like praise and worship. And they'll be singing to God and they want God to communicate to them. And they're like, God, tell me. And they're crying and they're having this very spiritual experience. Like, lead me where I am. And behind them in the chair that they stood up from to raise their hands is their Bible. And I'm like, if you would just turn around and you would pick that up, God will begin to instruct you about what you're going to need to do in your life. Like, is God going to tell you you should go to Texas Tech University? Probably not. No one should ever go to Texas Tech University. No, like I don't know. It may not be specific on that, but God will give you guidance. He'll give you guidance on the issues so that you can be spiritually informed in the right way. But there are so many people who peddle themselves as spiritual guides in this world. And Christians, we fall prey to that because we want to hear from God. And this person says, like, they may put a couple scripture verses in the midst of what they're doing, but they're still practicing the same darkness, the same spiritual darkness that God forbid in the Old Testament, that the New Testament equally forbids. Right, you want to hear from God, seek God where he is to be found. He has given you everything you need to know about Christian life, about what you're supposed to do as a believer, and about how you can know God in this book. Does it tell you every possible thing you might ever want to know about God? No. No, you may leave with some questions. You may say, I'd really like to have a better understanding of how God interacts in Trinity, and we don't have a book called First Trinity, right, that explains it in detail. Like, oh, okay, like, you may have some questions that you don't know, but everything you need to know, God has given to you. You have to pick it up and use it. And so the question comes back to you as an individual disciple of Jesus Christ, like, is your Bible like being used by you, or is it just being read to you at church? Are you taking your own personal responsibility to pick this up and to work through it? Are you studying God's word? Right? I can feed you little bits of information on a Sunday morning, but this is not the best like area to receive God's word. You with your Bible open, studying God's word. Right? If you want to know God's will, don't seek out it in the wrong way, which is sinful. Seek it in his word. Why don't we want to seek it in these ways? Well, we'll see what happens when we seek it in these ways. Saul, in verse 8. So Saul disguised himself and put on other garments, and he went, he and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, divine for me by a spirit, and bring up for me whomever I shall name to you. And the woman said to him, surely you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off all the mediums and the necromancers from the land. Why then are you laying a trap for my life to bring about my death? She's like, Saul's like, bring someone up. And she's like, I don't know if you've heard, but like nobody does what you're asking to do, right? Like we can't do that here. That doesn't happen, right? It's kind of like a wink, wink moment though. It's like, I don't know who told you I could do that, but there's none of those people around here. So Saul continues, and he says, verse 10, but Saul swore to her by the Lord, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. And the woman said, well, then whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. Verse 12, when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, and the woman said to Saul, why have you deceived me? You are Saul. And the king said to her, don't be afraid. What do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I see a God coming up out of the earth. And he said to her, what is his appearance? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he's wrapped in a robe. And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground, and he paid homage. And Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. Therefore, I've summoned you to tell me what I shall do. And Samuel said, why then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, David. Because you did not obey a voice of the Lord and didn't carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow, you and your sons shall be with me. The Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines. So Saul goes, requests her to bring up Samuel. She brings up Samuel, and you look at her reaction to that, by the way, is one of someone who probably did not often successfully divine someone up out of the dead, right? She is terrified that someone has come up out of the ground. It's very likely that she was what a lot of the people who practice the dark spiritual arts are, some form of charlatan out there, right? Plying their trade, telling you things that you may want to know, giving some baseline information, but really had no real power inside of her. As soon as she sees Samuel, she recognizes it's Saul. She's terrified by what happens. Saul says it's okay. And Saul does this thing, actually before that, Saul does this thing where she's like, I can't do this. And he says, like he swears by the Lord, and he says, by the name of the Lord, no harm will come on you. This is an amazing like abuse of God's name. Like we talk about using God's name in vain. And sometimes people will do this, they'll swear with God's name or something like that. But to take God's name and to give God's like grace and forgiveness over a situation which God has pronounced judgment and like destruction on is a direct misuse of God's name. Like it's an abuse of God's name. Saul should have known better, didn't care. And so what does Samuel say to Saul? He says, I don't know why you brought me up and disturbed me. And Saul says, well, no one's talking to me. I can't hear from God. The last person that had ever spoken like to Saul about spiritual things that he thought was authoritative was Samuel. And he said, look, I just want to hear from you. What should I do? And you can kind of feel the helplessness that Saul has, right? Like, what do I do? Like, I'm the king of Israel. I don't even know what to do. And Samuel's like, well, you're an idiot because God's already torn the kingdom from you. these Philistine army, they're going to destroy Israel. You're going to lose this battle. And like the kicker is tomorrow, you and your sons, you're going to be hanging out with me where I just came from. Like you're going to be dead tomorrow. This time tomorrow, you will be no more Saul, great King Saul. So why is it that we don't go? Like, because it seems like Saul got some real good spiritual advice here. Samuel actually was brought up from the dead. There's debate about this. We say, like, what does this mean for the power of mediums, and can they do this? And I mean, we know for a fact that this medium did this thing. Like, if you read how Samuel is presented here, this is Samuel. It's not the ghost of Samuel or something that appeared to be Samuel. It looks very much like Samuel. It sounds very much like Samuel. Compare what Samuel is saying here to what Samuel said when he was living. Sounds very, very much the same. He also references previous conversations that he had with Saul. He's like, in our previous email, Saul, you see this, and now we're going to deal with this, right? So there's this whole, like, consistency here. This doesn't give us any easy off-road to say, like, well, this was a demonic spirit, which it possibly could have been, pretending to be Samuel, but why would the demonic spirit give true information and have previous knowledge? Like, I don't know. But the way I read it, I'm a pretty simple guy. Like, it's Samuel being brought up from the dead. So how is this woman able to do this? Well, ultimately, I think God probably, in that moment, allowed Samuel to be called out for the sake of pronouncing judgment on Saul one final time. That's my official diagnosis for what this is, because I don't think this woman was generally very successful in that. But one of the reasons that we don't seek God's will in these horoscopes and tarot cards and life coaches and all the people out there who want to tell you what God is wanting for you is because at times you will find that you're dealing with someone who is actually tapped into a real spiritual power that is not good. Right, there are powers in this world, real powers at work in this world. Real powers, not fake powers, not just like smoke and mirrors, David Copperfield, magic acts. There are real powers at work in the world. Why don't I play with Ouija boards and things like that? Because I believe that there is a spiritual fight going on in this world right now, and I should have no part in aligning myself with evil. Right, I should not take part in that which God has declared to be evil. And as Christians, we need to be willing to recognize, like, even though it offends our modern sensibilities, that there are things at work that are bigger than we understand. And if you play with those things, oftentimes you will find the darkness that follows them. I've known many, many people who've gotten involved in occultic behavior. Right, and they get in with like some sort of innocence in it, like, well, we're just kind of like, this is like a nice little secret knowledge thing that we're getting involved in, and it doesn't take long till they get swallowed up by that. Someone said it's kind of like quicksand. It's easy to get into and hard to get out of. You step into it, you don't really notice anything like that. It's just, someone said, I'm trying not to call anyone out specifically, but I had someone talk about the practice of smudging. And that's the idea of like burning sage to ward off bad energies in your home, right? And when they were talking about it, I was like new to me. I'd never heard of this before. Never had crossed my mind that this was a thing. Like if someone came into your home and they left like a bad kind of like taste in your mouth when you left, like you could like rid your home of this by burning some sage. And so they were talking about this and I'm like, everything about that sounds bad to me. Like it doesn't feel good to me. I don't know anything about it, but it feels bad. And so I go do a little research. And I'm like, oh yeah, no, it is bad. And so like I communicated back to him, like, yeah, I really think you should avoid doing that because like you're playing in a spiritual realm. Like, and even though it's not like it feels sort of neutral to do, it's not helpful. Similar to maybe like older people will be like, knock on wood. As if like some wood sprite, I don't really know what the wood thing is. You're trying to ward off the whatever bad juju like this. I hope I get to do this, right? Like magic is gonna happen in that way. If you believe you're magically fixing things by knocking on things or by burning things, like you're taking on a sense of like a spirituality, but the Lord never tells us to do those things. Right? It's not in like Deuteronomy. It's like, and if you say something that you hope happens, but you don't have certainty will, if you knock on wood, God will make it more likely to happen. Right? It's not in there. You can read it. I encourage you to read the word, but it's not in there. And these are like little, like they're not, you're not going to the tarot card reader having them read your future. Right? You're not going to a seance out in the woods somewhere dancing around in a circle around a cauldron. Right? So it's like, yeah, I understand it. But like quicksand, you take that first step in and you're playing in real powers that you are not in control of. Like you're not in control of those powers. And if it works, that should scare you more. Like if somehow knocking on my wood surface near me somehow brings me more favor in the fortune that I'm looking for in my life, you need to ask yourself the question, why is this working? And if it's not working because God says it's going to work, it means you're probably teaming up unknowingly with the other side in the cosmic battle. And we should have nothing to do with that. And there are countless little superstitions and things like that that we do. Christians love all sorts of... I have a friend. He's a... I say friend. Maybe I should back off on that just a minute. I have someone I've done some ministry with in the past. He's Methodist, and I think he may even be the UMC Methodist now. I don't really know what he is. But he's on sabbatical right now, and he posted this week about, you know, those of you who don't use your, you know, PTO, your paid time off, because you're too busy working, obviously don't have an Enneagram 7 spouse or whatever that is, right? And the concept that the personality is built up inside of this Enneagram. If you don't know what the Enneagram is, it got real popular 6 years ago maybe. And it's like a personality test, kind of boxes people in. And there's probably some general truth to, like, we have specific personalities that we lean into, things that we like, things we don't like. The problem is, like, the background behind it is like some weird voodoo spirituality. Like Hindu maybe more than voodoo, but some weird spirituality underneath it. And so while it may be helpful for you to know that you have specific personality quirks that make you want to act like this or act like that, like that's really just introspection. Look into yourself and figure out why it is that this is this. But don't buy in to like the weird spiritualized voodoo nonsense on the internet. But it seems so neutral. It describes reality, Matt. Why can't, if it just describes reality, if the burning of the sage makes my house feel better, if the knocking on the wood brings me more fortune, if I read my horoscope and it says that, like my wife is out of town, she's on a plane right now to New York City, I'm an Aries, I don't know, there's probably a horoscope somewhere out there that says someone will leave you, but they will come back. And I'll be like, look, it's right there in the horoscope, it's true, right? There's some like there's probably a horoscope out there somewhere that says something like that. All of it, though, right, is like baby steps into the quicksand. And there are real powers that work in this world. And while you may think that they're friendly or you may think that you're in control of them, like you're barely in control of yourself. And you think you can control powers and forces that are somehow helping to shape big things going on in your life? It is dangerous to do. Saul didn't know that. He dives whole hog in. And now he's dealing with real power. Samuel's called up from the dead. Samuel's giving judgment on him. I don't think that we can make broad proclamations about what happens to the body after it dies from this specific passage, right? I really don't. I think like God specifically allowed this wicked woman to call Samuel up to give judgment on Saul. We don't see this anywhere else in the Bible. That's why I said this is a real weird passage. It doesn't happen anywhere else. But we need to recognize like there are wicked forces at play. I believe Samuel was at Abraham's bosom, right? He was inside of the arms of God at that moment. So for him to depart, God would have given him like a hall pass to go out and do something, right? And so like I don't think that people have the power to call just people out of the dead. But to play in dark spirituality is a dangerous thing, and it leads to judgment, right? Saul is going to be judged. His kids are going to die. And this is what it says in verse 20. Saul fell at once, full length on the ground, filled with fear because of the words of Samuel. There was no strength in him, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night. And the woman came to Saul, and when she saw that he was terrified, she said to him, "Behold, your servant has obeyed you. I've taken my life in my hand, and I've listened to what you've said to me. Now, therefore, you also obey your servant. Let me set a morsel of bread before you and eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way." But he refused, and he said, "I will not eat." But his servants, together with the woman, urged him, so he listened to their words, and he arose from the earth, sat on the bed. And the woman had a fattened calf in her house, and she quickly killed it. She took flour and kneaded it and baked unleavened bread, and she put it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. And they rose, and they went away that night. And Saul is now living underneath the judgment of the Lord. His doom has been prophesied by Samuel. He is going to die. Like, there's only two chapters left, 29, 30, 31, three chapters left in the book of 1 Samuel. If you flip over to the end of 1 Samuel, it says chapter 31, the heading says the death of Saul. So it's coming very, very quickly. You can read ahead. You're allowed to do that, okay? So like, this is about to come to pass. He is living underneath the judgment of God. I want you also to know this, guys. If you choose to walk in dark spirituality, if you choose to play inside of the spiritual forces of the world around you, if you do these sort of things, you know, God judges us for living in disobedience. God is always judging people for being in disobedience, and we should not live in disobedience for fear of the judgment of God. Right, and so whenever someone says, hey, why don't you come with me to this weird thing that's like Christian adjacent, but it's not actual Christianity, like it's something else that's got some weird spiritualism thrown into it, you need to reject those things. People have been co-opting the gospel of Jesus Christ for all sorts of purposes. And it is like this new age mysticism, which is kind of what like is the current in vogue thing. You got crystals and you got, I don't know, all the nonsense that's out there, right? But like a lot of you have seen this stuff because you get presented it on Instagram or whatever. You should avoid all of it because otherwise you will fall on the wrath of God. You'll be underneath the judgment of God, and I don't want that for you. So what do we do with all this information? Well, it's really, really simple, guys. You need to avoid the evils of the occult. The occult is the group of people who think they have some secret knowledge that they can share with you out there in the world. You can understand the deeper things of God. You can grab a hold of little pieces of God. The occult is just the philosophy of Gnosticism rewashed for current day and time. Anything in the New Age, spirituality, metaphysics, all of that stuff is evil. Like, it's not kind of evil, Matt, should I be involved in it? Like, if you walk into Barnes & Noble and you're shopping in the New Age section, it's all bad. Every bit of it. Well, but it tell me how to be a better husband or live a better life or be a better whatever. Maybe. And there may be some good stuff inside of that like, oh, that was really helpful to me. But that good stuff, like a little leaven, leavens the whole loaf, that little bit right there that hooks you into it can destroy your soul. And as someone who loves you and as your pastor, the vast majority of you, I am your pastor, I'm telling you, avoid that weird spiritualism. Like, there's whole denominations built on extra biblical stuff for spiritualism. Like, here's the Bible plus this to give you a better understanding. So all of that stuff is types of occultic nature. I got special revelation by getting this divine word from God given to me. Guys, that's not helpful. It's not healthy. And it feels good. It feels like you're getting a little bit more of God, but you're just stepping into quicksand. And if I learned anything from growing up in the 80s, I know quicksand is one of the most dangerous things in the world. I spent large parts of my life figuring out how to get out of quicksand. Grab a stick, kind of pull myself out. Like, my whole childhood, I don't know why it was, every cartoon, people were getting sucked in by quicksand. And then, like, in my life, like, I've stepped in mud that has taken off my shoes before, but like, no quicksand anywhere I am. But this New Age occult stuff is quicksand for the believer. And there's a lot of like innocent people who get trapped in it and they walk into it, and it's very difficult for them to give away. I mentioned briefly the person who was like smudging the thing. Wonderful story, by the way. I let them know. I said, hey, I actually think this is wrong. And immediately they're like, we're done. I'm out. I was like, praise God. Like if I'm like, hey, stop doing that. And they're like, I'm done. I'm throwing it all away. Preacher says it's bad. If only all of my congregation was so obedient, right? Stop doing stupid stuff, right? Like, but it was just like such a good-hearted response. Like, because we walk in innocent. We don't know any better. And some friend of a friend told you that this was good. And so you started doing it, and you're knocking on stuff and burning stuff and checking daily what the horoscope is, and like, your future is not tied to the stars. The fact that Mercury was in retrograde when you were born does not affect who you are going to be. You need to seek God's truth. Instead of seeking the evils of the occult, seek God's truth. Pick up his word, read his word, apply it to your life. God has something he wants to say to you today. He does. You know, Saul like had a word that was supposed to be given to him. Like he should have known what God wanted him to do in that moment. I forget where it was. It's in the Old Testament, but basically when a king, this is probably post-Saul, but when a king became the king of Israel, they had to handwrite the law of Moses, like their own personal handwritten copy of the law of Moses. And then the priests had to approve that the copy of the law of Moses that they wrote was legitimate, and then they were supposed to govern in accord with the law of Moses. Right, because it was supposed to be so important to them to understand, like, this is how the Lord wants us to live. Saul could have known what God wanted him to do in that situation. So, I mean, Saul's fate was already kind of cast through disobedience at that time anyways. Guys, I don't know what you're seeking guidance for today. I do know that there is no guidance to be found in the dark sources of power in this world. There are dark powers at work. Have nothing to do with them. Instead, rely fully on the word of God, right? There's other people who can give you revelation. You can come talk to me and I will do my very best to tell you what I think God's word, how it applies in your life. But there is no substitute for the Holy Spirit in your life and your study of God's word. You say, Matt, I'm not a good reader. I got bad attention span. I struggle with it. Great, wonderful. Stop telling me you want to hear from God if you refuse to do the base level work. Like, you don't really want to hear from God. Like, it's like saying, if I want to have a relationship with my wife, but I never come home. Like, it's probably not very good, right? This is God's word, his revelation to you. It has something for you. Open it today. Read it today. Use it today. It's for your good. I promise you, it's not that hard. And if you don't have one, if you don't have your own personal copy of God's word, which most of you will, but if you don't, just come talk to me. I will go into my office. I will grab one off my shelf, and I will give it to you today. Like, I have plenty. Or just steal the pew Bible in front of you, okay? It's not stealing. I just gave you permission. Take it. Okay, take it. It's fine. If you don't want to talk to me about it, take it. If I see a bunch missing, I'll know we need to buy some more, okay? Avoid the evils of the occult. It's out there. It's creeping. Especially, like, ladies, I don't know why, like, you're targeted for this stuff. But, man, they really, really want to target y'all. So just be aware. Wise as serpents, innocent as doves. And check every step that you take, because some can lead to destruction if you're not careful. Let me pray.